That is, knowing that we're on our way to heaven. Amen? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Well, listen, it is just good to be in church on a Sunday. Let's never take that for granted. It's good to be here this morning, and it's good to be back here tonight. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Brother Jordan. I appreciate him, again, so much. I appreciate his love for Christ, his love for the brethren, his love for souls. He just has a heart that is really stirred up and has some real passion, and I really appreciate that about him, and I love to hear him preach. We had a good time the other day going out knocking on doors, and I tell you, it's exciting. You know, we're knocking on doors, and one of the first doors that we knocked on, I knocked on this door, and this little kid comes to the door, and he just kind of looked like a deer in a set of headlights, yeah? And normally when kids answer the door, I kind of like, oh, is Mom and Dad home? No. He just looked at me and didn't say much. I think, you know, I don't know, with a face like this, maybe that's probably why. I mean, he's like, oh, okay, what do I do? It's scary, yeah. So, you know, I thought, normally I try to gauge it. I thought, okay, I'm not going to go into anything. I usually don't with little kids. But then the brother came from behind him in the living room, and I said, hey, how you doing? What's your name? You know, and so Ethan, and the older son was Tobias or something, Toby, and he said, how old are you? 14. So, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do here? You know, and I just started talking to him about the Lord. I just so you guys go to church? Yeah, my family goes to church. And well, what church do you go to? And they couldn't know. They couldn't remember, okay? So I'm just like, okay, well, I started talking to him about Jesus, and maybe a minute, and then I just felt a presence behind me, and it wasn't Brother Jordan, okay? It was Mom. She was talking to the neighbors across the street, and she's up here, and then I'm like, okay, something's here, okay? So then it was, you know, who are you? I'm like, oh, I'm a pastor, Cornerstone Baptist Church, just talking to your sons. Nice meeting Toby, and, you know, da-da-da, like that. And I don't appreciate you talking to my boys, okay? All right. So, you know. So anyway, I just said, listen, we meant no harm. We just want to tell them about Jesus, because Jesus made a difference in our life, and, you know, normally I don't talk to little kids, but anyway, it was one of those tweeners. But it's exciting, kind of like right out of the book of Acts, you know? Maybe not quite. Paul got stoned. We just got a little tongue-lashing, right? But for us Americans, that's real persecution, okay? So, you know, sometimes, but I'll tell you what, it is exciting. It's exciting to talk to people about the Lord. And so sometimes you get a door slammed in your face, and sometimes you get somebody that has a listening ear, and it's a blessing. So if you get an opportunity, as we have door-to-door this year on Thursday nights, you know, come on out. We won't throw you to the wolves. At least the first time we won't. Maybe the second time, no. But, you know, just go along and watch somebody and how they do it and be a praying partner. But it's a blessing to just watch somebody, get an opportunity to witness to somebody and see them, and they're drinking it in and it's processing. And, you know, maybe they don't get saved, but what a blessing it is to tell somebody about the Lord and give out the gospel. So anyway, that was a blessing the other night. So anyway, I was talking to Brother Jordan last week. I said, why don't you preach Sunday night? So I appreciate him. Brother, I'm going to turn things over to you. Thank you for your friendship, and you give to us what the Lord's given to you. Amen.
Okay, brother, thank you.
Amen.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate being able to share the Word of God with you tonight. And, you know, as always, it's an honor to be able to stand behind this sacred desk and to share the Word of the living God. And, Pastor, I appreciate you so much. I thank you for trusting me to come and to fill in and to preach the Word of God. And, you know, I've been thinking about this message all week. Roxanne asked me, do you have it down? I said, I'm not sure if I do or not. I think I do, you know, so I may start chasing a few rabbits here and there. Well, let's see. I've got some notes in here somewhere. There they are. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 2, I told Phil it was 1 through 11. It's actually 1 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You know, whenever you preach, you want to hit a home run. Be nice to hit a grand slam once in a while. I don't know if I'm going to hit a home run tonight or not. I kind of have my doubts, but with the Lord's help, I'm doing the best that I can, right? And we're just going to trust the Lord for the results. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, I've entitled the message. I'm not sure if I gave you the right title. I wrote down, how is your self-image doing? How's your self-image doing? How do you feel about yourself? And it's not so important what you feel about yourself, but how does God feel about you? And I'm going to try to be an encouragement tonight. I know you folks love hard preaching, but tonight it may not be so hard, but I'm going to try to be encouraging and helpful and try and lift you up. Some hard preaching may slip in there. I'm not sure, but it may get in there. But let's read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll pray. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And I'll be focusing on these last two verses. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in past time were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this portion of scripture. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me the words to say, that the Holy Spirit would take it, that, Lord, you would just breathe on this service tonight. And Holy Spirit, that you will speak to every heart. And Lord, as I bring forth this message, whatever is applicable to each one, I pray they will receive it and put it in their heart. And may you get praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. So it's not my plan to exegete this passage of scripture. If I did, we'd be here a long time talking about the priesthood and this precious stone. But I'm going to focus on those last two verses, and I want to read them again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which at past times were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. And I pray God will help me to share that with you tonight. You're going to hear one word a lot tonight, and it's this word, special. You're special to God. Every one of us are special to the Lord. Amen. And what came to my mind about how is your self-image as I was reading this and thinking about what the Lord says about us in verses 9 and 10, this thought came to my mind, and it brought me way back to my childhood. Certainly it could have been other times, but has there ever been a time in your life that you felt like a total loser, capital L? You ever felt like that? Just a total loser. Well, this is an interesting little story I'm going to tell you. And it's about a young girl, started when I was 5 years old. She was a young girl named Glenda Wages and her friend Patel. Going into kindergarten, don't know any of the kids, and all the kids are sitting in the gym in a circle on the floor. And Glenda Wages scoot over. She patted the floor and said, kind of like Sharon over here, said, come and sit by me. Well, that began a romance of about 2.5 years. I felt like Glenda was my girl. I don't know how old I was, but I got this idea. And I'm this block, by the way. We had all moved up from Arkansas. Everybody on the block was related one way or another. Glenda wasn't my first cousin. I might have been about 6 years old, maybe close to 7. And I told my mom, I want to take Glenda to the movies. She said, you do? I said, yeah. And so she talked to Glenda's mom, and they came up with a deal that Glenda's mom was going to take us to the movies. Mom got me a little suit, a tie, and man, I was dressed up, and I'll never forget, Glenda was such a cutie, had this little red dress, and we're going to the movies. And so her mom took us to the movies. I don't know what we watched, probably had some popcorn, but I'm going to tell you, at that moment, I felt like 10 feet tall. Now, you have to remember, I was skinny, freckles all over, wore glasses, just a weakling, but for whatever reason, I got this blessing. Well, now we move ahead a little bit. Now, Patsy Wallace, my cousin Philip, now, he's good-looking, blonde, wavy hair, not anything like me being very unattractive. And so we're out in front of our houses where we lived, and so we began to ask them, who do you like? And so Patsy said, oh, I like Philip. Well, I expected that. Well, Glenda, who do you like? Well, here's my big moment. And Glenda says, you know what? I like Philip too. What? I'm like, what? And I thought, man. Now, Philip wasn't a whole lot bigger than me. And I had a couple little wrestling matches with kids in the neighborhood, little kids, and I always lost because I was so skinny and so weak. And I thought, I could take Philip. I could take him. So I challenged him to a fight. He punched me in the nose. My nose started bleeding, and I was done. And I thought, he took my girl, and now he beat me up. Talk about a total loser. Well, that's the way I felt. So you may have had an experience, maybe not exactly like that, but where you felt like a total loser. And in life, things do happen, don't they? But I want you to know as we read this passage, there's some very important words here, and I don't know how deep we'll get into it. First of all, he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, but I want to focus on this word, a peculiar people. In Titus chapter 2, it talks about us being peculiar, that we're peculiar and zealous of good works. That word does not mean weird, the word. It means to be above. It means to be above everything else that is going on. And what God is trying to say, that we're different from the world. Jesus said you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We don't live like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't walk like the world. We're different. But if you follow that meaning out, being uniquely different, the word means special. God says you're uniquely different. You're not like the world. You're one of my children, and you're special to me.
Amen.
So think about that. Look, you know, you look in the mirror, do you feel special? Probably not. I don't. But when God looks at us, we're special. We're in Christ, and we belong to him. Let me turn just for a moment over to Ephesians, and I won't spend a lot of time there, but in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, this idea, you know, we talk a lot about election today. I may not know everything there is to know about election, but I have some ideas of what I believe according to the Word of God. Now, Brother Gary taught this just a couple of weeks ago, but it tells us there, according as he, God, has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I want you to think about that for a moment. It says that we were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. How do you get in Christ? You believe. You repent. You trust Christ as your Savior. And then you're in Christ. See, here's the thing, as I look at you, you're special. God has chosen you in Christ. God didn't choose who would be saved, but he chose how you would be saved. If you're in Christ, you're saved. They could say, well, you're part of the elect. They could say whatever they want. But if you put your faith in Christ, you've repented of your sins, and you've believed in him, then you've been chosen. Chosen in Christ. There's a whole lot I could say here, but you're special. Look what it says. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption. You're special, you've been redeemed through his blood. You're special, you have the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded towards you in all wisdom and prudence and making known unto you the mysteries of God. You're special. You've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've been washed in the blood. You've been forgiven. You've been predestinated, be adopted into the family of God. And it talks about that in the book of Romans. I think it's chapter 8. God's not given us the spirit of fear, of bondage, but it says what? He's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. And the spirit itself bears witness with us that we are the children of God. And it goes on to talk about being joint heirs with Jesus. So we're adopted into the family of God. We're chosen to be in God's family. Doesn't that make you feel special?
Yes.
I would think it would. You're special because you belong to God. Now, you know, it says, I forget where it's at, about having your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, once you're saved, you're secure in the hands and the arms of Jesus.
That's right.
No one can pluck you out. You're saved. You belong to him. I think it kind of goes like this. Now, I've heard preachers talk about this. I don't know for sure. But you know, God is not willing that any should perish, as it says in 2 Peter 3:9. But he wants all to come to repentance. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. John 3:16 says Jesus died for the whole world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, but not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power or the right to become the children of God, even to believe on his name. And we've not been born, you know, of a worldly birth, but we've been born again from above. The point I'm trying to make, you know, the Calvinists like to use that word tulip, that flower, tulip, to explain it. And they've got the five different words. Well, the L stands for limited atonement. It means that Christ died for some, but not for all. How can you believe that? I've just given you about five references that says God wants everyone to be saved. He died for all people. When you read the book of Hebrews, it's clear when Christ like few, one time for all, for everybody, not just a select. This. Everybody that is born into this world, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's God's perfect plan for everyone to be saved. But when you reject Christ, when you say, I'm not interested, I don't want it, your name is blotted out. That's how I believe that it works, because you can't be saved and in the Lamb's book and then have it blotted out. But if God's perfect will is for everyone to be saved, it makes perfect sense. He'll put your name there, and it's up to you. Now, think about this for a moment. God is busy, if I could use this word, wooing us, drawing us. Even when we're not aware of it, God is at work. You know, what is it? Psalm 19 said that the heavens, they declare the handiwork of God. Even if you're lost and you look out and you see, what a beautiful night, what a beautiful creation, a waterfall or whatever it is, God is wooing. God is already drawing. It's as though God is saying, yes, it's beautiful. I made it all. I'm the creator. Yeah. And so he's drawing. He's drawing. He's telling people, I love you. I care about you. I want to save you. Now, when it comes to salvation, who does the choosing? Not God. God says, I have this offer. You remember the wedding feast? I believe it's Matthew 22. Those that were bidden, the Jews, they wouldn't come. He told his servants, go out in the highways and byways, and everybody you find, invite them in. The invitation is for everybody. Come, come, come to Christ. So God is inviting everyone to come. But the Bible says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's doing the drawing. No one could come to the Son except the Father draws him. No one could come to Christ without the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So the choice is up to us. People say, well, why would God send people to hell? God never sent one person to hell. Not one. He lays out the invitation. He lays out the plan. I love you and I want to give you eternal life. But if you reject it, he makes it clear. There is a hell. There is a lake of fire. The wages of sin is death, but it's your choice. Where do you want to go? People laugh and joke and they say, oh, you know, all my friends are in hell anyway. They have no idea what hell is like. If they knew for a moment what hell was like, and we don't fully comprehend it, if they knew even for a moment the torment of hell, they could never talk like that. But you see, the devil has deceived them. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. Because the God, the devil of this world, he's blinded their minds, lest that light of that glorious gospel of Christ would shine into their hearts and they'd be saved. The devil hates them. He's doing everything he can to keep them away from God and away from heaven. So God is drawing, and he gives you a choice. I had a choice. I could have said, no, I'm not interested, and went my way. And God would have probably left me alone. But I heard the gospel message. And listen, without the Holy Spirit, no one's getting saved.
That's right.
And so the Holy Spirit was drawing, and I accepted. So God does the drawing. You may disagree with me. Man does the choosing. He doesn't elect anybody, one individual. He elects us all. And if you're in Christ, you got there because you believed and you received Christ, just like John 1:12 says, that he will give you the gift of eternal life. Now, that ought to make you feel special. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor, I'm not getting up help up here tonight. No. Amen.
Amen.
You could jump up, shout, say hallelujah. You could even sing the hallelujah chorus if you want. Get excited about the Lord. We're special.
Yeah, that's right.
Chosen. I won't go into much about the royal priesthood, but think about it. Not only are we priests before God, we are royalty. Revelation 5:10 says we will reign with Christ as kings and priests upon the earth. I tell you, you can't be, you know, God's made us the head and not the tail. God says you're royalty. You're part of my family. There's only one king. Jesus is king. But even the king has a lot of servants and people around him. And we're going to be there serving Christ in the kingdom. Why? Because we're special. We're special to God. You know, as priests, we could go before God. I got a little book somebody sent me. And it's about the Virgin Mary. I forget the name of the book. Our Lady of Fatima or something. Anyway, it's about the Virgin Mary. And it had a cover letter that came with it. And they said, since we know that you're such a good Catholic and that you adore Mary, we wanted you to have this book, how far they had elevated Mary. You read that book, you don't even need Jesus. He's a byproduct. Oh, yeah, he's there. But Mary's the one you need to go to. No, there's one mediator, one intercessor between God and man, and that's the man Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And these Catholics are duped. I'm going to pray to Mary, and I'm going to go to Mary, and she's going to help me. Mary is a godly woman. She's in heaven. But Mary did not die to save you from your sins.
That's
only
right.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
I was going somewhere with this. I got lost my train of thought for a minute. So anyway, he says a chosen priesthood, we have the ability to pray, to offer up sacrifices to God. He says he's saying that generation in that day was a special generation. It could be. But certainly even today, anyone that has faith in Christ is a special person, this peculiar person. I want to give you some examples. There were people, I'm sure, at times that felt very low, felt like losers. But I think of David. I think it's in 2 Samuel chapter 6. God says, I've called you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, and I've made you ruler over my people Israel. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I'm not exactly how it says it. And he says, and I have given you victory over all your enemies. And I've given you a name that is great among men. And there will never fail from your seed someone to sit on the throne of Israel. And of course, ultimately, that was pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how David responded? David went in and it says he sat down before the Lord and he said, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you have done all of this for me? It doesn't say it in the text, but as you read about David, I think God would have said, David, I did all of this because you're special. You're special to me. Genesis chapter 12, there was a man named Abram, lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and God spoke to him. Said, I want you to get up out of your father's house and from your country and your kindred, and I want you to leave. And I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. And he left going, not knowing where he was going. And of course, God led him to the land of Canaan. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bless you. And all of the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. We get that great doctrine, the justification by faith, because it tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham could have said to God, why me? I'm down here with a bunch of pagans, surrounded by pagans. It makes you wonder, what are you doing down there in the first place? But God called us. Isn't that what ecclesia is? Ecclesia, it's a presupposition that means out in the church. We've been called out of the world by faith to follow Christ. We don't know for sure every day where we're going to go, what we're going to do. But Abraham was willing to be led of the Lord. And that's a mark of a true believer. We sing that song. Wherever you lead, I'll follow. Wherever you want me to go, Lord, I'll go. What you want me to say, I'll say. What you want me to do, I'll do. I'll be faithful. That makes us special in the sight of God. I think of Gideon. I think it's chapter 6 in Judges. And the Midianites had come, a giant army, to invade the land. And they were afraid. And it says Gideon was by the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. He was afraid. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him, says, Gideon, what did he say, thou man of valor and courage? And I think Gideon probably, me? You talking to me? Yeah. He says, you know what? Through you, I'm going to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And he said, "Why, my family's one of the poorest families in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least among all of the brethren." He could have said, like David, "Why? Why? Why'd you choose me?" Yes, God had a plan for their lives. God has a plan for our life. Now, we could shortchange ourselves and even shortchange the blessings that God wants to give us, because God gives us a choice. We could say yes, we could say no. You know, how can I leave out Moses? Moses, 40 years of age, ran and hid from God on the backside of the desert, they say, for 40 years. He's 80 years old. Most of us, 80 years old, we say, "I'm done. I'm retired. I'm not, you know, that's it." But there he is. And as he's coming along, he sees this sight. Was it on Mount Horeb, I believe? And there's a burning bush, but it's not consumed. And he says, "I have to go and see this sight." And he hears a voice out of the bush, "Take your sandals from off your feet, for you're standing on holy ground." Who are you? "I am that I am." "Moses, I want you to go, and I'm going to use you to deliver your people from that Egyptian bondage." And if you've read this story, Moses tried to get out of it. "I can't speak. I'm not well spoken." The bottom line was, he said, "Lord, could you just send somebody else? I don't want to do it." God says, "I'll get your brother to help you." He could have said, "Lord, why me?" You know, think about this world. There's about 7 billion people in this world. Out of all of these people, God chose you. Ricky, he chose you. Roxanne, he chose you. Candy, he chose you. Out of all of the people. And we could say, like Gideon, "I'm so poor, I'm the least of my brethren." We could have said, like Moses, "I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to do this." We could make all kinds of excuses. But I'll tell you, when God puts his hand on your life, he's telling you, "You're special to me." How many Sunday school teachers, the pastor asks you, "Could I get you to teach this Sunday school class?" You say, "Me? No, I can't do that." You know, anything God calls you to do, he'll equip you to do it, won't he? He'll equip you to do it. Oh, I got other examples. I've got to move quickly. I think you get the point. You're peculiar. Yeah. The world says you're weird, but in a good way. You're weird because you love God. I remember when I got saved, I didn't drop any of my buddies. They dropped me. First party I went to, and I think no alcohol, no swearing, no, you know. No, we don't need him around. And wasn't long. Nobody called. Nobody was interested anymore. The world will drop you. You don't have to drop the world. If you're living for Christ, what does it say in John 3? Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn the world." The world's already condemned. Why are they condemned? Because they love darkness rather than light. Because when the light shines on them, it reproves them. They see their sin. And when you're letting your light shine, Jesus says, "I'm not condemning them." It's their own actions that are condemning them, because they won't come to the light. And so here we are. We're precious. We're redeemed. We're adopted. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We've been forgiven. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. He calls us to serve, and we're all unworthy. But by the grace of God, I've got to move quickly and close. He says, "You peculiar people should show forth praises." Brother, what you close with this morning? "The praise of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And quoting from the book of Hosea chapter 1, "In past time you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So God says, because of all of this, you're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen generation. You're a holy nation. a holy people, and you're special to me. I called you out of darkness. I was going to share more of my testimony, but I don't have enough time to do it. All I could say is I appreciate the testimonies of those of you that grew up in the church. What a blessing, what a heritage to grow up into the church. And I hope you never experienced any of the things that I did. But I was a worldly man. I was lost in sin, miserable, and unhappy. I was just listening to a song. I don't know who is singing it. It says, "He touched me." God reached way down. Sometimes I think to the bottom of the barrel. And he touched me. And he loved me.
Amen.
And he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I know a lot of people don't get the new birth. I do. My wife Edith said it's supernatural because she got it too. She understood. How do you go one day from being all that I was and in a moment be different? My oldest daughter thought they've joined a cult. My dad's went crazy. All of a sudden we're going to church 3 times a week. He's praying, he's reading his Bible, he's out knocking on doors long before I was ever called to preach, telling people about the Lord. See, when you're touched by God, it's supernatural. It's special. There's a lot of people in our churches today have no idea what I'm talking about. To come out of darkness and into this marvelous light. And I was not a people of God, but now we are the people of God. We've obtained mercy. God has extended his mercy and his grace to us. We don't deserve it. Not a one of us deserves it. We were all hell-bound sinners. We don't deserve God's grace and mercy and love, but he loves us.
Right.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
He loves us. I believe it with all my heart. He loved me.
That's right. Amen.
And he reached down and he touched me. And I began to read the Word of God. We had that big old coffee table Bible. No one ever opened it. I had never read the Bible. I'd heard a few verses in Sunday school when I was younger. And I said, I got to find out what this book says. And I just began to devour the Word of God. Just for hours at night to read the Word of God. I got to know what it says. I got to know what this book teaches. I've got to learn more about Christ. I've got to know him. Saved 6 months. And God spoke to my heart. And he said, I'm calling you into the ministry. Why me? Surely not. Surely not. And within a month of that call, and I went forward and I made it public, God opened a door in a church for me to go and work with the youth and in evangelism. And within the next year, they ordained me to be their pastor. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm special. I'm special to God.
Yeah.
And so are you.
That's right.
We're all special. Do you know what I'm talking about today? Have you experienced that mercy and that touch from the Master's hand? I'm going to pray, and then Pastor's going to come and give the invitation. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you. I know the message was short, but I hope it touched hearts. And if we didn't get anything else, let us leave here knowing that we're special to God. Father, whatever happens in the invitation, we just pray your will be done. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, let's have our heads bowed, and let's be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Piano players playing. God speaking to our hearts. But in Christ, He loves us. He died for us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee before the worlds were ever created. God saw all of this happening. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord that we know Him tonight, and He has a special love for us. Sometimes we get off of that track and we take a look at ourselves and we don't have much of a good image of ourselves. Maybe because we fail a lot. But God loves us. God has invested everything in us. This message tonight, if God's spoken to hearts, then respond to Him tonight. What a great thing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're special unto Him. We're more special unto Him than our children are to us. It doesn't even come close, because He gave His life for us. Father, we thank You tonight. Thank You for this message, a great reminder of how much You love us. Lord, of how special. We're a peculiar people. You say that You called Israel a peculiar treasure. We're called a peculiar people. We're a peculiar treasure to You as well. We thank You, Lord, that You love us and You died for us. I have no doubt about that. Lord, help us to respond to that. Help us to be grateful for the love that You have for each and every one of us. I pray for somebody here maybe tonight that doesn't know Christ. Would You work in their heart? Lord, we want to see everyone come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But for those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to realize we're a peculiar people and that You love us in a very special way. Lord, we thank You and praise You in Your name. Amen. Let's all stand.